From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory be to you, Lord Christ. Teaching in the temple, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I imagine most of you have never heard of Reginald Heber, H-E-B-E-R. I imagine you didn't know that he won 2 poetry awards at Oxford while he was there, and that later he went to become a priest and took over the church that his father ran, and then after that became the Bishop of Calcutta. Bet you didn't know that about Reginald Heber. I bet you did know, because I've mentioned it before, that I grew up in Waco, and that I went to Waco, Texas. I don't know if there's another one. And I went to St. Paul's Episcopal Day School, and at that school, every week, we had a chapel, and I didn't like that part of the curriculum, the chapel part. I went to that school from the time I was 3 till I was 12. And so this chapel, it was mandatory, and I would have much rather have been, on the playground. But there I was in the chapel, and so to help myself in the chapel, I would change the lyrics to the words of the songs, much to the chagrin of the teachers around me. This often resulted in me not getting what I wanted, which was to be on the playground. But so, for instance, for you, there's the song, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God." And the second verse is, "I sing a song of the saints of God." And one was a doctor, and one was a priest, and one was slain by a fierce wild beast. So I would change it to, "And one was a doctor, and one was a beast, and one was slain by a fierce wild priest, and they're all of them." I'd go on. I thought that was funny. It was funny in the morning. Are you all awake? It's kind of nap time. So there's this other song, "Holy, Holy, Holy," and we had to sing that almost every week at in chapel, "Holy, Holy, Holy," and it's, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning the sun shall rise to thee." So I would change it to, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning I have to go to the bathroom." And I would sing that to end up outside. But the second verse is, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling to adore thee, which wert and art thou evermore shall be." That hymn was written by the Bishop of Calcutta, Reginald Heber. I don't know if he appreciated me changing the lyrics on him. He wrote it in 1826, so somewhat 170 years later. Anyway, I share that with you because I like that second. There's the second verse, the casting down the golden crowns around the glassy sea. All the saints having these golden crowns and then taking them off and bowing to the one that made us all. Even the cherubim and the seraphim doing that. There's a human predicament that I have noticed, and it comes, a lot of us have it, I've had it before. It's a form of amnesia, and this amnesia is pretty insipid. I could say that it's sort of the work of the devil, but it's a forgetting of you. And what happens is, how you know you've gotten this amnesia and you've gotten sort of the tunnel vision that comes with it is that you are either, you are somewhere alone, usually, you are maybe with a friend, but you're somewhere alone and in your head you are convinced that you have no value. That you have somehow been something, somebody, somehow this amnesia has affected you in such a way, it's inside your marrow, that you are of no value and not worth 2 copper pennies in the treasury. And it does stuff. It messes with you, this amnesia. And I am here to remind you tonight that that's a lie, that that's not true, that you all of you in here, have these golden crowns that you are called to have to cast down in front of God, but to remember that you were created and made by God. I'm fascinated by the creative process. I'm fascinated by how we human beings reflect God in that way, how we can look at a blank piece of paper and a Shakespeare or a Bronte or a Steinbeck can create words that fly off the page and enter the soul, how a Picasso or any painter, shoot, my children when they were 4, what they brought home was transcendent at times. When I would think to myself, this creature that I saw come into the world has taken finger paint and made something in such a way that it's forever a work of art and beauty, a classic, something that I hold dear. Even though most people would say, that's just kids' art. It's like, that's not just kids' art. That's somebody's brain working and making and doing and creating and eliciting a response in the person who views it, which is what art is supposed to do. So this amnesia. I read you the story of the widow's mite is what we call it. And this is an entire scene that takes place all in the temple, and it's in Mark where Jesus has just come in triumphantly, and he came in with everybody, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, yay, Jesus is here, and he comes into town, and then he goes and spends the night over in Bethany, then he comes back, and he goes into the temple, and he flips all the tables over, all the money changers, and he declares this, you have turned my, you are a bunch of robbers, you have turned my father's house. You have turned it upside down. My father's house is a place of prayer. My father's house, this temple is my father's house. And then he proceeds to spend time in the temple in conversation with the religious elite who would question him back and forth. And so we have this scene today where he warns everybody to beware of the scribes. And then he does this move, which I think is fascinating. He goes and he sits opposite the treasury. And sitting opposite of the treasury, meaning away from the earthly money, he watches what humans do. And he watches people come and thank God for the many gifts that they've been given by putting in, you know, $1. Here's $1. Thank you. I've got so much, but here's what I peeled off for the Lord. Here's my 10% before taxes, or here's my 10% after taxes, but we had a really good year, so I'm going to give a couple of dollars to the treasury. And then he notices the widow. Now, we heard described the warning about the scribes who devour the widows, eats them. So here she comes, the without character. She does not have a husband. She does not have resources. All that she has was devoured by this temple industry. So she comes and she offers these two copper coins worth a penny. And she's the one who is the virtuous one, because she put in all that she had. That is the casting down the golden crowns around the glassy sea bit. All that we have. All that we have. But move this story away from money, because money is symbolic and temporary, and move it to all that we have. The call is to put all that we have in the treasury. All that you have, yourself, your soul, the most important, precious, most valuable thing that you possess is not your money. It is you and your soul. That's why we freak out over babies, because here is a brand new one that's, there's not a copy. This is the only one of these. This is the only one that exists in the world, which is why we go really, really sad when we shoot these things in a bar. Which is when we get really sad when tragedy strikes them in a fire. Which is when we mourn, when we remember 100 years ago, all of those young men and women murdered for a war that didn't really make much sense. We are so precious, and when we are lost, that is the tragedy. Jesus points that all we are is all we have is just this. Us. And we are called to cast our golden crowns down around the glassy sea. So tonight is a night to remember, to come back out of our amnesia, to wake back up, to feel the truth again, that you were given a birth and you were given a life, and that life is glorious wherever it takes you. And there's going to be hard and there's going to be good, but in the end, you are of more value than you'll ever know to the one that made you. And that you were called to give your all back. And when you do that, you get all you back again in this constant cycle of praising God, loving God, God loving you, in this infinite dance that we have come to call our Christian faith. Amen.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you? Oh, got a bad desire. Oh, oh, oh. Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? Can he do to you the things I don't do? I can take you higher.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.